Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, everybody. Chuck and Chernoff as we roll into our 3 o'clock hour on The Fan. It's all brought to us by This Stuff Matters. You can listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast that's posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Charles Oliver.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Chuck.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Where would you take me for pizza?
Just give me one. Have you thought about, what about Carmella's?
Okay, Carmella's, where is it?
I think there's one in Long Island.
Why is Carmella's pizza good?
I think it's the ingredients, the freshness, the dough, all the toppings, a lot of choices.
What about Vero?
I think it's Vero.
Have you been to Vero over in Brookhaven?
I think it's Vero, and I have, yeah.
And there's also a place actually on Johnson Ferry getting close to, like, Shalliford. Matt, do you know Aurelio's?
I do know Aurelio's, Chuck. It's a good spot. It's a classic spot, man.
It's on Johnson Ferry near, like, the... like the Birdwatcher store and all that stuff. I'm not trying to give you directions there, but
felt like
that's
you,
where it is.
Felt like you were by the Birdwatcher store. Probably could put it in my phone in the GPS, but now that I know it's by the Birdwatcher store, thank you. Doesn't it make you realize you don't have to be here?
You make me sound like I have minimal social skills.
Is that far off?
I have... minimal ability to communicate with humans. You make me sound so bad.
I'll tell you the fun part. When he's cutting this up in the back, he's cackling like a child. Like he thinks the funniest thing.
Oh, just, that is funny. You're right now.
Just random Chuck stuff. And he said to me, you know we could do a full segment right up to the winging it idea of you just talking to Digital Chuck. And I was like, that's fine.
Or not.
Just something to think about. Okay.
I'd rather talk about how my team won a ball game.
Braves did win a ball game. They swept the Red Sox in a quick two-gamer. Winners 8-4 last night. The story, the night, all of it belonged to Vaughn Grissom.
Vaughn is, come on, to try and nail it down.
That's exactly what the Red Sox were saying after Grissom pulverized a ball over the monster. He finished 2-for-4, a home run, two ribs, two runs scored, and a stolen base. Here we play history involving Vaughn Grissom. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
At 21 years old and 217 days, he became the youngest player to hit a home run and steal a base in his major league debut in the modern era, which dates back to 1900. The previous youngest, you'll get a laugh. The previous youngest to do this was Jose Offerman, who was 21 years old
and
284 days in 1990. But he wasn't a home run hitter.
No.
How funny is that? Grissom also became the 14th player in Braves history to hit a home run for his first career hit. I've said we've been spoiled as Braves fans with this, right?
Chuck Tanner did it, I think.
So here's the Braves list. Vaughn Grissom now, Austin Riley, Evan Gattis, Jason Hayward, Jordan Schaefer, Jeff Francoeur, Marty Malloy in 1998, wow. Jermaine Dye, and Bob Horner, just to name some of the list. Pretty good. Congratulations.
Made sense. Well, we said that the Braves way, which, well, this changed so many times over the years, yes, but the manager, Snit and Freddie and Bobby, so you've had a pretty consistent view going back 30 years. When you come up off of it, either an injury or an initial call-up, almost always you're in the lineup, man. And so that was going to happen last night. He goes yard and good for him. What a fantastic night.
In Vaughn's case, like, you can't bring him up to sit. I mean, you got to play him every day. And
Marcel hit a home run.
Well, I want to get to Marcel in a minute. But the ball that Vaughn Grissom hit, first of all, He killed it. Like, you hit it over the monster out onto Lansdowne Street. That's a rocket.
There was some Tim Anderson to it, too, boy. He enjoyed it.
The bat flip was on point.
It was fantastic.
That was a phenomenal bat flip.
Veteran.
That was like, he did it where it was almost that old, don't laugh at this, Ade Echeverria. Remember him when he was here? He had some killer bat flips.
I saw where they would diagram the and follow the, like, the little, yeah.
He landed the mofo last night when it hit the ground. I don't think he had any memory of doing it. I think, as he said, and he talked to Kelly Kroll on TV right after, he sort of blacked out. He said, and I've heard this so many times, when you hit a home run, he's like, I didn't feel it. That's how perfect it came off the barrel. The Braves didn't know what to do in the dugout. Some of them greeted him. Some did the silent treatment. It was a great moment there. And then his interview with Kelly. And this is what I said yesterday going into it. I love the debuts. And I think I have a different way of looking at it through a different lens now as a parent, because you watch your kids play sports. I can't even fathom it. They interviewed his mom, and she's watching her baby boy, who was playing high school sports 5 minutes ago, in Fenway Park, making his debut, hitting a home run, setting a major league mark that hasn't been set since modern era began in 1900. And you saw two things, Chuck. You saw the gratitude. First thing he said is, I want to thank everybody who got me here, his family, the Schleps, the practices, all that. Then you saw the sheer exuberance of his dream just came true. Do you mind? Think of the millions and millions of kids at 8, 10, 12 who picture that moment. And for 99.9%, it'll never happen. He realized his dream last night at 21. That's awesome. Just awesome. And the look on his face said it all. It's perfect. Speechless. I can see it. And then there was Marcell Ozuna. It's about time. He was 0 for his last 21.
That's true. And they said that on the broadcast leading into it.
He was due. That's his 20th home run. He also had a sac fly. So he had four RBIs, and I won't just disregard that. That's a big deal. Helped you win a ball game. Struck out twice. I'd like to think it's the start of something, but I know it's not. I just don't think it's sustainable enough. But it was a good night for Marcell. It was a good night for the whole offense. Everybody had a hit last night. 12 hits total. Up and down the order, everybody did their part. Now they get a day off. They'll be in South Florida starting tomorrow for 4 games in 3 days, doubleheader Saturday. By the way, the Mets will be in Philadelphia. So if you want a perfect scenario for the weekend.
Oh, Philly, stay hot.
So the Braves win 3 of 4. That's what you want. Mets drop 2 of 3 and see if you can't knock a couple of games, 2.5 games off this lead, where the Mets would come in Monday and maybe you're only 4.5 back and they're within your sights to have a 3 out of 4 yourself here, and all of a sudden you had a division race again. That's, again, the perfect scenario. Whether the Mets oblige, we'll wait and see. Their pitching has been ridiculously hot lately. So we'll see what happens when they're in Philly. But Philly's red hot, too. So that's the series coming up this weekend. We are on the eve of Falcons football, at least the preseason version of Falcons football. The Birds are in Detroit tomorrow night at 6. So you got a Braves game tomorrow night at 6:40, the early bird special in Miami. Falcons at 6 o'clock in Detroit. Are we worried about bedtimes or something? Why are we starting these games so early?
That's normal for preseason.
6 o'clock?
They've started locally downtown at, yeah.
I don't remember too many 6 o'clock games, Chuck. I don't know if you know this. I worked for the network for a long time.
Oh, not for a long time.
I used to do pre and post, and I did silent. It was a big macha.
Well, I mean,
it was a big to do. Well, I mean, but I did it for a, I mean.
So preseason is different, though, man.
I don't remember many sixes, but that's fine. I'll make it work. I'll adjust. The Falcons are still 1-point favorites in the game. If you're interested in rolling the dice on a low percentage preseason play, speaking of low percentage, I found a bet that only you could like.
What is it?
Darren Revelle tweeted this. There was a bettor at PointBet USA who made a $20,000 8-leg all favorites money line parlay for week 1 of the NFL season. You might as well burn that money. You might give me 10 grand and I'll give you the other 10. You'll save it. Here's what he likes in week 1. 49ers to beat the Bears, Ravens to beat the Jets, Broncos to beat the Seahawks, Colts to beat the Texans, Saints to beat the Falcons, Eagles to beat the Lions, Bengals to beat the Steelers, and Chiefs to beat the Cardinals. I'll tell you right now, 3 of those won't come in.
He bet $2,000?
No. $20,000. $20,000. If he wins, it would pay
$3.5 million?
I'm sorry, it would pay $300,400.
Wow. Okay, 10 and a half.
You might as well burn
12
it.
12 to 1, 13. On an 8-team?
What's a money line parlay, though? You're not playing.
He's
just playing winners. Okay. That's essentially what he's doing. He's just doing money line picks, playing all the favorites for week number one, which tells me it's not the first time.
Yeah, that changes everything on the math, but
well,
still.
Of course it does, but it's still like you're not hitting 8 for 8.
No.
I'll save this, and we'll bring this up after week one. He'll lose 3 of these. The other part of this is he's betting road favorites with the money line in some cases. Week one, okay. That would be a Chuck bet. Like, because we went to Vegas and Chuck made us bet a 25-leg parlay or something.
Oh, no, I don't bet the money line in football.
What was it, Hoyt? Wasn't it like a 20-team parlay or
20-team parlay, we lost the first game.
Lost the first game. But it would have paid some stupid number because it was a 20.
$72,000.
It was a 20.
$72,000 is what it was.
Do you think anybody's ever won a 20 team?
$72,000 is what it could have been.
Thank you, Raymond.
It wasn't.
I've heard you, Raymond. But what? Do the odds.
It was 12 team.
A 12 to 12. That makes it so different.
But it was our best 12.
Was it? We lost the first game.
No, you took callers and that's how we got it. It wasn't
our collective best 12.
What a great way to do it.
I had, 3 folks said Tulsa. I was like, all right, well, only 2 people said Texas Tech, so we'll say Tulsa.
We did calls on this?
And tweets.
Awesome. You know, we have preseason football tonight.
Yeah.
You got Giants Patriots at 7 on the old NFL Network.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones is in the news for some not good reason. What, they're not going to dress him or play him or something?
He's going to be naked tonight?
Yeah, see, that's what he objected to. He was like, Players Association, can they do this?
But this is one of those dumb sports terms. They're not going to dress him tonight, you said. That's like when I hear street clothes.
He's got to dress himself, yes.
I'm wearing street clothes to the office here today. Now, it just so happens I have a cat on my shirt. But these are street clothes. And Chuck just said Daniel Jones, the Giants, aren't going to dress him. He's old enough to dress himself if he cares about it that
much. You know, you get into Duke, you can probably handle your wardrobe.
I hate these dumb sports terms. We all regurgitate them. We just do. Street clothes. What are street clothes? That sounds like an insult. Chuck, you're wearing street clothes.
Yeah, there was something about Daniel Jones. They've got their, he's fine. Pissy about something.
About not having clothes?
No.
And then the Titans and Ravens will play tonight at 7:30. So, got a couple of games to look forward to tonight. We got a Wingin' It idea to look forward to now.
It's time to wing it. Brought to you by Wingin' Burger Factory. With over 50 Atlanta locations, find yours at WNBFactory.com.
All right, so we'll take your Wingin' It idea answers at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. I know we're getting dangerously close to fantasy football draft time for a lot of people. End of August kind of thing it'll happen. So we do want the funniest fantasy football team names either you heard or you had. I would say keep them clean, but you don't have to.
Crux Last Nut.
See,
that was baseball. That was more baseball.
I was going to go with CD's Nuts. Like CD Lamb. Get it? CD's Nuts. Got him. Or my neck. My deck. See what I did there, Chuck? My neck. My deck. Okay, Charles.
What's the next line?
I can't say it on the radio.
The funniest one, I can't say on the air. It was related to Bobby Petrino. I don't know. Illegal Motion. That was whatever.
That sounds like a bad porn.
Yeah, the funny one I can't say.
All right. Wait.
2 girlies, 1 Cooper Cup.
That's been a big thing. 2 girls, 1 cup, right? Yeah, that's been a deal. BJ.
Post Mahomes.
Marginal. Marginal. Dan Matthews.
Bourbon Meyer. Bourbon Meyer.
I like that.
I like how he said it's slow.
I like it. It's very good.
So the great Karnak.
I just gonna have the envelope. Here we go. So what's
that's the wrong show. Sorry.
Wrong one. What's the funniest fantasy football team name you've seen, heard, or used? You'll send that to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're gonna send you one of the best steakhouses in Atlanta. If you can win Chuck's dinner.
You can't win!
So we'll start lining up calls at 404-231-1680. But coming up next, if Braves history shows us anything, it's that your money won't matter in October.
My money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds.
Still doesn't matter.
I'd like to see you wiggle wiggle for sure.
Not in October.
It makes me want to dribble dribble, you know.
We'll talk about it next.
Riding in my Fiat, you really have to see it.
Thanks for making Chuck and Chernoff part of your Thursday on The Fan. We're also on The Fan mobile app. With you until 6 tonight. Braves with an off night, meaning the front row's audio fun bag hosted by
Dan and Steve West.
Is this a Dan and Steve, or is this a Carlos Medina project tonight? What are we?
It is. No, Carlos, not welcome.
Carlos Medina.
Look at that guy, Carlos, coming back to hang on at his old show.
Eat your taco.
Wow. The 3 o'clock hour of the show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website right under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. We will give you a chance to win Chuck's dinner.
You can't win.
We'll do it in about 5 or 6 minutes. We'll get you lined up at 404-231-1680, one of the great steakhouses in
did
Atlanta.
Did you say steak?
I just did. Yeah, Arnett's Chop Shop. Gift cards on the line coming up. But first, Charles.
What?
It was nice to see a little sign of life from Marcell Ozuna last night. But I have a feeling that home run sort of delayed the inevitable. I hope that's not the case. I mean, we all agree if Marcell hits, it's obviously better for the Braves. But I feel like that was probably more a blip and this will remain a huge hole in the Braves lineup. And it's an expensive hole. And we all know the numbers. Marcell's making $16 million this season. He's got another $32 million on the books for the next 2 years. So the Braves aren't just going to punt on that now. And for those who don't know, apparently the Braves and the Marlins had some sort of dialogue before the deadline on a salary for salary dump with Marcell's name involved, but nothing came to fruition on that. It's going to be the only way you might move off him in the offseason. Here's what we know about Brian Snitker, and this is a credit to him and his players love him for it. He's loyal almost to a fault. I jokingly said when they traded Will Smith, it's the only way you can guarantee that Snit wouldn't use him late in a game. He didn't have him at his disposal. But it's only August, right? We can say it's only August. Quickly, you're going to start running out of games, though, right? And mid-September, late September, when we're closing in on the postseason, playing Marcell and writing his name in every night, it would just be stubbornness. There's no reason to do it. By a ton of metrics, he's a bottom 10 player offensively in all of Major League Baseball. If you start looking at WRC+, and you start looking at OPS+, and you start looking at just all the things that show you what kind of player is, even with the 20 home runs, he's just been a horrific disaster offensively. So what do the Braves do? Well, the obvious part is if Darno comes back this week, you can play Contreras there a lot more. It's an option. You also have the Rosario-Grossman scenario in left field, or one of those guys could potentially DH. And I'm going to put the cart way ahead of the horse here.
All right.
Just work with me. What if Vaughn Grissom hits well for the next 3 weeks? Ozzie comes back, assumes his role at second base. Who's to say Grissom wouldn't get some shots at DH? I would think everything is
DH, certainly. Yeah.
I think everything's on the table.
Okay, so we do agree because you weren't going to say left field. I need a professional major league outfielder in left field.
You played Marcell there.
He had done it before at a high level at one point.
Yeah, but that's not that
like
guy.
Rosario. I'm saying Rosario is like entry level out there.
I would say it this way.
I don't want
way.
To try Vaughn Grissom just or Contreras anymore.
I'm going to guess Vaughn, if you can play short, you could bump out. Not that you want it to happen, but there are options you have in this case. And again, he's played one game. But this is not the first time the Braves have shown you that your money doesn't matter to us in October. Many moons ago, they looked at B.J. Upton and Dan Uglin and said, we gave you every chance. Every chance. And when they got to the postseason, they left both guys off the roster, and Elliot Johnson was the starter at second base. Jason Hayward moved to center, and they put Evan Gattis in left and just said, we know his glove is a nightmare. We hope the ball doesn't get hit to him, but we need some offense in left field.
Wasn't there game one against the Dodgers, he had a belly flop?
Probably.
Gattis did.
I mean, you knew what you were signing up for to get him in the game.
Yeah.
I'll even go back to a lesser extent a year ago. Braves left Rich Rodriguez off the postseason roster, and while that doesn't sound like much, that was a big, in their mind, trade deadline acquisition that was going to help the bullpen. So you could either be stubborn and say, we don't want to admit we were wrong, or just say he's not pitching well. We need the best 25 or 26. So Rodriguez wasn't on the postseason roster a year ago. Chris Martin wasn't on the postseason
that
roster.
That doesn't matter anymore when you get talked over.
Shouldn't. Dylan Lee made the postseason roster over both those guys without any sort of, you know, numbers on the back of a baseball card to show you anything. Do you remember, too, Terrence Gore was on the World Series roster over, I don't know, Adrianza, Pache, whatever they had.
He bench run.
But they just did it because he had some speed. And they were like, we're trying to put together the best 26 postseason members. If the postseason began today, there's no way in good conscience you could have Ozuna on it. You can't. I don't care what happened last night. You can't have him on a – he's not one of your best 26. Take away his money and don't remind me what he was in 2017 or 2020. Today, he's not that. Now he has 2 months to fix some of that, to change their minds and change their opinions. I'd love to see it. I just don't think it's believable. I don't think it's going to happen. I would not be shocked at all. In fact, I'd be more surprised if he's on the postseason roster when we get there.
The money and the resume means you keep getting chances even into August and into September, but that's when they stop. Like I said, the money, the resume, the history, the fact that, hey, you know, he could pop out at any point. When you get to October, no, it's just about production, and that's why you get, like, there's a Diori Hernandez or a Constanza or whomever, various situations that you have put guys on postseason rosters ahead of higher paid, more accomplished, longer in the bigs veterans, because I got to know what you're doing right now. That's that. Where are you right now? And he's been bad all year.
So to try to find some optimism, like I would say, he's got 2 months to try to change their minds. But what I won't do is just ignore all the unproductive, just horrible throwaway ABs he has, where it's just spin and swing and hope for the best. And he'll go 6 or 8 games where it's like, I can't have that in the lineup. So we'll see what happens when Darno is back, because you do have options. You have plenty of options. Contreras can do it.
Even when you're going bad, 0 for 21. Well, no, 0 for 21.
He was 0 for his last 21. Contreras could do it. Grossman. I'd rather play Robbie Grossman over Marcell Ozuna, and I never thought I'd see the day where I'd say something like that. And I watched him hit a 3-run homer last night. Hopefully it's a spark. I just don't buy it. We'll see. He's got some time to figure it out, though.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
It's suicide! You've seen him, you know how strong he is. You can't win!
It's time to win Shock's Dinner! Served up by our next Chop Shop, a fresh modern expression of the classic American steakhouse.
Arnett's is Arnett's. It's as good as you're going to find anywhere around Atlanta. I told you, hashtag bone in. Best Caesar salad in the city. Dessert so good that I even have a bite ever so often. But my question is, why ain't anybody after the Cards, Matt? It's been a minute since we've given away a card. I need an A game today. I need an A-minus game or even a B-plus.
I'd love to give one away. I like to give our listeners, are part of our family. I'd love to give them some steakhouse.
I'll work food. 3 minutes and get $300 worth of steak. That's fine with me. Just saying.
Okay. So the rules of the game are pretty simple. You get 7 questions. If you don't know something, you pass it. It's a timed event. If we have a tie, we'll go to an overtime round. We have 3 categories you'll choose from. Brandon Joseph will be your host with the most. And we will start the festivities now with Sean, who joins us on The Fan with a chance to win Chuck's dinner. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Have you ever played with us?
I have, yes.
How'd that go?
50-50.
Okay. All right. Sean, I've got some category choices for you, and you'll pick the one that you think is your wheelhouse, okay?
All righty.
Good. Your choices are twig bitches, ample folks, or current NFL quarterbacks.
I go with current NFL quarterbacks.
All right, current NFL quarterbacks it is. Let's put 60 seconds on your game clock. Here's your chance to win Chuck's dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
This Saints backup quarterback is a 3-time Pro Bowler from his time as starter with the Bengals.
Chase Daniel.
Incorrect. Before ending at Delaware, Joe Flacco started his college career at this university.
Penn State.
Incorrect. Jacob Eason, while not a son of an NFL quarterback, is the backup quarterback for this NFC West team.
The Seahawks.
Correct. Davis Mills is the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. Where did he play his college ball at?
Stanford.
Correct. 8-ball and snooker are variations of this game.
Pool.
Correct. Divorcing this week in 2001, married actors who starred in Days of Thunder and Eyes Wide Shut together.
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Correct. What is the capital of Missouri?
That would be Jefferson City.
Correct.
A hell of a comeback right there. All right, let's get Chuck in here. We'll put Sean on hold. Chuck making his way from the isolation chamber. That was Sean, who has had some good and some bad involved in the game, but he was excited to be back, and you could just sense that.
Hi, Charles. Oh, I know. There's a Sean that has had, I'll say, success has dotted his resume.
Do you keep, like, a list?
There are a few.
Okay. Is it a mental thing, or do you have, like, a drawer?
Well, Sean's had success, but I beat him last time.
You're like Santa. You have a list of who's naughty and nice.
No, I'm not a
keep track
guy. I'm just saying.
No. All right. So your category is current NFL quarterbacks.
Okay. All right.
Sports category, Chuck. Mm. Take a deep breath. Let's put 60. Wow.
I said no more Dagmar sounds.
60 seconds on your game clock. Here's your chance to keep your dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
This Saints backup quarterback is a 3-time Pro Bowler from his time as starter with the Bengals.
Dalton.
Correct. Before ending his career at Delaware, Joe Flacco started his college career at this university.
Pitt.
Correct. Jacob Eason, while not a son of an NFL quarterback, is the backup for this NFC West team.
Rams.
Incorrect. Davis Mills is the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. Where did he play his college ball at?
Stanford.
Correct. Eight ball and snooker are variations of this game.
Pool.
Correct. Divorcing this week in 2001. Married actors who starred in Days of Thunder and Eyes Wide Shut together.
Oh, Kidman Cruz.
Correct. This is the capital of Missouri.
Springfield.
Incorrect.
St. Joe.
Incorrect. You were looking for Jefferson City on that one.
Jacob Eason plays for
the Seattle Seahawks.
I know those sports questions can be tricky
damn
for
it,
you.
Damn it. Tell me I won.
Calm down. Right now. You got five. Sean got five as well.
We have a tie. Score tied, and at the end of regulation, we're going to overtime.
Oh, it was so right
there.
There's
special overtime rules in the playoffs.
So the way this works.
Uh-huh.
Brandon Joseph's going to ask the same question to you and to Sean. And I imagine whoever's closer is going to win. Is that how we're doing
it,
DJ?
Yes, closest.
All right, Chuck, take your headphones off. Chuck, his headphones are off. Let's bring Sean back up here for his winner-take-all question. Sean, here's Brandon Joseph.
Sean, Alabama has the most active players on an NFL roster. How many former Alabama Crimson Tide players are on the NFL rosters?
I'm going to say 35.
Okay. Let's get Chuck back in. We'll put Sean on hold. Chuck, the same question that Sean just answered, BJ will offer to you as well.
I knew the Jacob Eason thing. Can we go ahead and call that six?
I need you to just go ahead and just listen to the question. Here we go.
Alabama has the most active players on NFL roster. How many former Crimson Tide players are on NFL rosters?
41.
Actual retail price?
79. Chuck is closer.
You can't win.
Wow. Sorry, Sean, you gave it a try and came up just a little bit short. That's very sad. But the good news is Chuck seems like he's off his game a little bit. A little bit.
I got six, well, practically.
You got five. Go ahead and head out for me. Hop out. There goes Chuck to the isolation chambers. We welcome in Mark, our next contestant, with a chance to win Chuck's dinner. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. Hey, Matt.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
Heard you've never played the game with us, huh?
I have not. I've listened to many times, but this is like a privilege here off my bucket list. How about that?
I want the rest of the listeners and the callers to understand what you hear, the appreciation on Mark in his voice right there. That's big. I want to give him a card now.
If they're tied in the tiebreaker,
yes,
Mark wins.
Just because, again, you hear the energy.
Man, I could use a dinner right now.
Well, don't beg, Mark. Here we go. Here's your category choices. You can choose between twig bitches or ample folks.
What was those two?
You just want me to say it again. All right, Mark. Twig bitches or ample folks?
My God, ample folks. Let's try that.
Let's do the ample folks. Let's put 60 seconds on Mark's game clock. Here's your chance to win Chuck's dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
The Pillsbury throw boy, Jared Lorenzen, played his college ball at this school.
Kentucky.
Correct. This former major league pitcher who, at his heaviest, weighed over 300 pounds, pitched for Cleveland, Milwaukee, and the Yankees in his 19-year career.
Pass.
Ron Lester played Billy Bob in this teen sports drama released in 1999.
Pass.
Nicknamed the Gypsy King, this fat guy is the current WBC and Ring Magazine heavyweight champ of the world.
Pass.
In 2023, Liberty will join Conference USA. Which state are they located in?
Kentucky.
Incorrect. Dying this week in 2017, this country music singer known for his hit Rhinestone Cowboy.
That was Glenn Campbell.
Correct. Sleeping Beauty's castle is located in this state.
Orlando. I'm Florida.
Incorrect.
All right. So hold on 1 second, Mark. We'll get Chuck back in. We'll see if that number holds up. Mark was very excited. I appreciated the excitement. His first time playing. And Charles is back from the isolation chamber.
Hey, who's that?
That was Mark.
Okay. And?
He was a virgin.
All right.
Excited for his first time. Like, really excited.
Which over in a minute?
Yeah, 60 seconds is all we needed.
Okay.
Your category.
How did he perform?
We'll find out. You don't know in the moment. Kind of figure it out later.
Then you ask later.
Well, if you ask, you kind of know. You look back and you go, I could have done better. Your category is Ample Folks.
What was those two?
His choices were Twig Bitches or Ample Folks.
What was those two?
I just said what we chose was Ample Folks. Okay. Deep breath. All right. We'll put 60 seconds on Chuck's game clock. We'll see if he can keep his dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
The Pillsbury throw boy, Jared Lorenzen, played his college ball at this school.
Kentucky.
Correct. This former major league pitcher, who at his heaviest weight over 300 pounds, pitched for Cleveland, Milwaukee, and the Yankees.
Bob Wickman.
Oh, my God.
Incorrect.
Oh, my God.
Ron Lester played Billy Bob. Ron Lester played Billy Bob in this teen sports drama released in 1999.
Titan. Remember the Titans?
Incorrect. Nicknamed the Gypsy King, this fat guy is the current WBC and Ring Magazine heavyweight champion of the world.
Pass.
Wow.
In 2023, Liberty University will join Conference USA. Which state are they located in?
Virginia.
Correct. Dying this week in 2017, this country music singer, known for his hit Rhinestone Cowboy.
Glenn Campbell.
Correct. Sleeping Beauty's castle is located in this state.
Say that again?
Sleeping Beauty's castle is located in this state.
There's only 50. You should have guessed.
Florida.
Incorrect. California.
That was a horrific round.
You are also looking for Tyson Fury. He is the Gypsy King.
Oh.
Ron Lester played Billy Bob in Varsity Blues. Oh. And CC Sabathia is the fat guy you missed.
That was a horrible round.
He's not fat now, though. See, you asked what fat guy.
Well, but while he played.
Did I win? Tell me I won.
You got three.
Tell me I won. That was bad.
Mark got two.
You can't win.
What a horrible round by the two of you. That's where both pitchers are knocked out of the game in the second inning.
I feel bad. Not bad enough that I'm not going to take it, but I feel bad taking the card.
You're off your mark today. Like, you are off your game. Leave.
I'll console myself with ribeye.
Hop out. There goes Chuck. Isolation chamber time as we welcome in our final contestant, Jay, who joins us on the fan. Hello, Jay.
Hey there. How are y'all?
We're doing awesome. Have you played with us before?
Once.
How'd it go?
I lost, but I think I was close.
Well, that's all that matters then, right? As long as you were close. So, Jay,
yeah, like horseshoes.
You're exactly right. Your category is Twig Bitches.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, you don't know that. That's a negative attitude. We're not going to be negative in this game, Jay.
Got it.
I like the positive turn. Here we go. 60 seconds on his game clock. We'll see if Jay can take Chuck's dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
This Twig Bitch hosts a show on CSS and NBC Sports Radio before running them into non-existence.
Sandra Golden.
Oh my God.
This 7'7" NBA player was born in the Sudan and drafted. Correct. Colton Baker is a rapper who shares a stage name with mobster George Kelly Barnes, who murdered people with this weapon.
Machine gun.
Correct. This former San Francisco Giants pitcher, nicknamed the Freak, was a twig who only weighed 170 pounds while playing.
Oh, what was his name? Pass.
Okay, the Utes are the nickname of this Pac-12 school.
The Utes? Utah.
Correct. Dying this week in 2016, this former Cuban president and communist leader.
Fidel Castro.
Correct. The Space Needle is located in which U.S. state?
Washington.
Correct.
All right. It's a hell of a comeback, Jay. I'm not going to lie. I didn't see that first one coming. Kind of caught me off guard. Chuck is back from the isolation chamber. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, who was that?
That was Jay. Jay has played with us before. He didn't win, but he came close. Okay.
All right. Well, good for Jay.
Your category is Twig Bitches.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, well, that'll be determined. Let's give Chuck a chance to have a nice old deep breath.
not healthy.
Not at all. Not at all.
Gaviscon.
60 seconds on your game clock. Here we go. We'll see if Chuck can keep his dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
This twig bitch hosted a show on CSS and NBC Sports Radio before running them into non-existence.
Oh, turn off.
Correct. This 7'7" NBA player was born in the Sudan and was drafted in the second round.
Manu Bol.
Correct. Colton Baker is a rapper who shares a stage name with mobster George Kelly Barnes.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Correct. This former San Francisco Giants pitcher, nicknamed the Freak, was a twig who weighed only 170 pounds.
Winsicum.
Correct. The Utes are the nickname of this Pac-12 school.
Utah.
Correct. Dying this week in 2016. This former Cuban president and communist leader...
Castro?
Correct. The Space Needle is located in which
Seattle.
U.S. state? Incorrect.
Washington.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. You said Seattle.
I'm premature answering.
Thank you. So you got six. Jay got five.
Oh, Jay. Yeah, good for Jay, though.
He, you know what the answer he missed?
What?
Me. I've always wanted to be an answer on Winchuck's Dinner. This is like when you're an answer on Jeopardy, but I don't think the Jeopardy category would be twig bitches.
Well, it was a gender-leading clue.
Apparently not.
What did he answer?
Well, it didn't lead to you.
Do you want to know what he answered?
Oh, I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
Listen on the app.
Wait.
Podcastpark.com.
Wait, what do we do?
Did it make it to air, or is it only on the digital version?
It wasn't cursing. He didn't curse.
No.
Repeat the question, BJ, the first question.
This twig bitch hosted a show on CSS and NBC Sports Radio before running them into non-existence.
Well, you guys better dump it.
Well, you knew it was me. Jay didn't. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no is right.
That's not good.
When it gets back to her, it wasn't us. We didn't do it because Matt and Chuck are so mean. No, we didn't say. I didn't do anything. I didn't do a thing. I sat here twiddling my thumbs.
I wasn't even in the room.
Thank you.
I wasn't even in the room.
I don't want it was Jay. She can get mad at Jay.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well,
but take the compliment. You're looking slender. I mean, I don't know. What?
I don't want to be called a twig bitch.
You were.
I still am.
You're the inspiration for the category.
Wow, I've made it. Play the band.
3-0.
There it is.
I wasn't in the room.
Thank you to Arnett's Chop Shop. I was in the room, but I didn't do anything.
I'm going Saturday night. You want to hang with the king? I'll be there Saturday night.
I love it. Arnett's Chop Shop, one of the great steakhouses in Atlanta.
Find a way to get some onion rings on the table. That's all I'm saying.
It's a big
figure
win.
Figure out a way.
All right, coming up next, asking one question puts into perspective how tough the past decade has been for one particular Power 5 conference. Who are they? Find out next.
You can't win!
This twig bitch hosts a show on CSS and NBC Sports Radio before running them into non-existence.
Sandra Golden.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
Wasn't me.
She even caught me on camera.
Wasn't me.
How about we don't replay that?
Brian Hoyt, you guys better dump it.
I wasn't in the room.
I wasn't even involved.
I was not.
I didn't do anything.
I was not in the room.
Did that go on the air? Seriously?
It's not my game. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
Wasn't me.
Let me remind you, we're back on the road tomorrow broadcasting live from Truck and Tap in Alpharetta.
You guys better dump
it. Stop, sir.
This is why she hates you the way she does.
Brian Hoyt.
Hear the way she says his name.
Brian Hoyt.
Right. And she's right to not like you.
I'm just a guy sitting in a room. That's all I am. I'm not the host. I got my name on the show. Nah, I'm just a guy.
It's your game.
No, it's not.
It said Winchuck's Dinner. We're going to be kicking off the weekend with Creature Comforts Classic City Lager gift packs. Coveted 680 The Fan t-shirts, and we'll get you registered to win some baseball tickets. Join us tomorrow as we hang out with Creature Comforts Classic City Lager, Truck and Tap, 2 to 6 p.m. in Alpharetta. It's 30 Milton Avenue. Hopefully we see you guys out there. All right, so let's ask the one question that puts into perspective just how tough the past decade has been for one specific Power 5 conference.
Question is, what's the next open SEC job? And who in the ACC wants it? Now, specifically, before we get to those answers, let's take the first part. What's the next open SEC job? All of us just top of mind, and for any reason possible, forecast your next SEC head coach opening or two or three. Matt, I'll give you three. You can tell me your three. Could be Brian Harsin because they have an offseason. Could be Eli because they have an offseason. Could be Kirby because he's coaching the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, wow.
All right. Could be Saban because he retires finally.
I would think Harsin might be the one.
Okay. And so for what, good, bad, or it, like the ultimate for Nick Saban, I've won enough national championships for one lifetime. I'm going to go Garden. Whatever job in the SEC you come up with. Okay. Which coaches in the ACC would want that job? Now, I declare it almost doesn't matter which SEC job you have identified, and it almost doesn't matter which ACC coach you're considering. I will say, like, Mac Brown doesn't count because he ain't taking any other job. His next job is retirement. We know that. So some of these don't fit. But for an ACC head coach who there might be another job, folks, I think almost everybody in that conference, Dabo would be outstanding. And even with him, is it the Bama job or the, okay, it's the Missouri job. So no, Dabo's not. With the financial divide between those conferences about to widen even more, and I mean significantly, let's consider some of these answers we're talking about with a couple of exceptions. An ACC head coach has to decide what his version of winning is because winning a national championship isn't really for him. He has to decide if what his version of winning is on that campus is going to be enough for him. Like Halfley at BC, he has to decide what his version is. 8 wins, we won 10, we won the division, which is about to go away.
No, that's the ceiling, though. If you're BC and you get to the ACC title game once every how many years, like, that's a win.
Dave Doran, you know what Dave Doran's decided? This is kind of good enough for him. And if you're okay with having a good contract and averaging, he's averaged 7 wins a year for 9 years. Dave Doran looks around and is like, 7 wins a year, Raleigh? Life's pretty good.
Isn't it funny, though? That was the big hit, the knock against, like, Chan Gailey at Georgia Tech. You just went in 7 every year.
And so you look around, and the days of ACC head coaches weighing openings in the SEC and passing, yeah, that's done. Matt, I just picked 2007 because it was 15 years ago. Went back and looked at the standings, just who the head coaches in the SEC or ACC were at that time and what sort of relationship to any job. You had Jim Grobe telling Alabama, nah, I'm good. The Wake Forest coach said that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You had the Duke coach a couple of years after that telling Tennessee, nah, I'm good. Yeah, that's not happening anymore. Okay? If you want, because now everybody, there's so much money and that there's this huge divide, it starts to matter. Whereas 15 years ago, you were still all kind of on an even playing field. If you want to be in the mix for any recruit anytime, if you want to be a head coach at a program where you can get any available assistant anytime and a whole lot of unavailable assistants because you show up with a big check, if you want to be that guy in that program where you have a real chance to win, where you know if you go 11-1 and don't even make the conference title game, maybe I can still get in the playoffs anyway. You leave almost any ACC job for virtually any SEC job. And that's just the truth.
So I would agree today.
I take Clemson out and Vanderbilt out at the top.
I would agree today. We're going to look up in like 3 or 4 or 5 years, and being a okay ACC program might get you in the new 16-team tournament when we get there. Like the years where the NC State team goes 10-2, whatever, or the year when Virginia goes 9-3, like that might equal a 15 or 16 seed. And they, you know what they'll get to do? You and I used to joke about this. There was a point where Paul Hewitt was trying to politic for everybody to get into the NCAA tournament. So coaches could say, I've been to the tournament. You know, we've done this and that. Whereas what you're going to see is marginal programs who have a pop year every now and again will say, we made the playoff 2 times in the last 6 years. What they won't tell you is we went 9-3, didn't win a game in the playoff, but we got in. That's what's going to happen.
And you know that you can't win. You know,
of course.
But
you'll brag. It's the little school in the NCAA tournament. When Monmouth makes the tournament, they go, we made the tournament 3 times. And this will be the version of middle-of-the-road ACC team going, we made the tournament.
If you look back, it was either 2000, maybe 15 or 16. I'm trying to recall. Marshall started the season like 11-0. And obviously the playoff committee was releasing their votes at that time. And I said, might have been 11-0. And they came out and Marshall still wasn't ranked in the top 20 of the playoff. And they said, yeah, it doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to get there. You just got nobody on your schedule. They told them up front. So if a Marshall team that the playoff committee said, yeah, we're not going to consider you no matter what, if they do get the 16 seed, they know they can't win.
They should know that. They'll tell you externally they can't.
What's going to happen.
But they, what they'll tell you is we can win, but when they get boat raced in the opening round, they'll put a banner on.
Okay, so do you want to be at a school where you know you can't really win? You don't really have a chance.
So what are your priorities? Because I would argue if
that's what I'm saying. You have to decide if
it's like, a great living.
If Dave Doran.
If I'm making $3.5 million a year, $5 million a year, and it's job security, and I go to that little, you know, 16 or 15 seed once every 5 years, like, that's pretty good. That's a great, it's not a bad life, right?
If and apparently, like I say, he's the perfect example. He looks around, he's making 4.25 a year to live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and win on average. I think he has actually in 9 seasons, he has 64 wins. So it's 7 and then an extra one.
And then he doesn't have the same pressure you'll have in any of those SEC schools.
But how do you accept that as a, like, I know I'm not going to really win what we're doing this for.
I think it's all relative to what's...
Because he can't.
You can win at a certain level. You can't win at the biggest level.
Yeah, exactly.
But not everybody can win at that level. Like, let's agree. There's about 0.001% can win at that level.
I think I want to be somewhere where it can happen.
I don't disagree with you, but A, that job has to become available. Uh-huh. B, I have to think I can succeed there. Those two things don't always intersect.
I think that you look at, like, the Missouri job or the Arkansas job or maybe even the Ole Miss job when Lane decides to do something else. It's pretty damn attractive.
I totally agree. Did you see any of the video from the Red Hot Chili Peppers last night?
No. Did everybody stay clothed?
It looked, I assume it looked awesome. Like the scenes at night. So I guess the Tomahawk book at one point, the chop with the cell phones and the whole thing. It looked like here's a quick image of it. Truest. And I've seen a couple of concerts there. It's a great setup. At night, it looks just tremendous. Lit up, outdoors.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, and it was the Strokes open for them. So I heard it was a great time. Some people I know, I guess Widespread Panic was playing downtown as well. So it was decent little music night around our city. Yes, Dan?
I was there. It was awesome.
Oh, you went to the Peppers.
I did. And apparently...
Did you get naked?
No, I was fully clothed. I did have a roach fly and land on me, though.
So that drugs?
No, like an actual like bug roach.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that was kind of an uncomfortable...
Well, you were outside, but... yeah.
Yeah, but...
Oh, man, a bug.
Yes, it probably is what it was, tree roach. But anyway, it was pretty awesome last night, like you said. And then I understand that is kind of like the Atlanta thing for the main show and then the encore is that everybody starts doing the chop.
It's okay, play to the locals.
So we did. It was fun.
Yeah, you played it. Awesome. That's smart. It's a good idea.
But Flea was shirtless,
right,
but pants on.
Well, that's a win. Okay, very good. Better than the other way if he was Donald Duck in it. That would have been strange.
Yeah, tube sock.
All right, coming up next. Any teacher who ever said there are no dumb questions wasn't prepared for what Chuck's about to ask you all next.
How naked was Gillespie?
We've asked that one before.
Are there any redheaded Chinese?
Don't recall asking that one.
How many times were you found stumbling in a hotel hallway without pants?
Again, I don't remember that one being asked, but it's none of those questions.
It was just the one time.
Right.
I didn't ask any of those.
Well, you sounded like you did.
I didn't.
It'll be a brand new question that will make us all dumber. Next.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.